No, aren't they synchronizing while they're hearing the commercial?
Likely, likely. Many have. Your following is a lot faster than it was.
Right, and because people are, this is one of the best commercials ever created.
Correct, and it allows answers that were otherwise unanswerable.
Yeah, and many will
it gives solutions that are otherwise unsolutable.
Yeah, yeah, and many of them will continue just to enjoy the commercial, and they're not getting anything from it. They pay what's the phrase? You get what you pay for.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. But guess what? There was a time on your planet Earth where almost no one on this planet had electricity.
Right.
Well, the way everybody got on the grid was that everybody else got to talking about how wonderful it was to plug in the lights and not have to refill the oil lamps, and the house didn't burn down, and we didn't have to watch the radio. We could plug it in, and the batteries didn't go dead. And
okay, okay. And your point is?
The cash flow show allows people access to something exciting and new and different that they can choose to participate in.
We're okay. Dealing with the phrase.
No, I've got a Bob. If they're choosing,
no,
I understand.
But no, I have
to tell you. Can I tell you?
No, because you have to find out what I don't care what you understand. I got to figure out what I don't understand, and I want to relate this to the phrase. It might not even been the phrase. They get it wasn't get what they get with it. They worth it. What was that phrase?
You get what you pay for.
No, it was. It's not worth anything. Was the meaning of it? It was like.
It's
worth what you pay. Maybe it was worth what you pay.
Right.
Was that what the phrase was?
Get what they pay for.
Is that what the phrase, Ian, we started this telltale, table tale?
It's worth what you pay for.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's worth what you pay. They pay nothing, so it's worth nothing. Do we agree with that?
No.
Sure.
No, I say they pay with their time. They pay with talking to other people about it. They talk it up. They participate just like they did with electricity, he's trying to say. So if they talk it up, talk to other people, then they're actually passing it on and participating in the exchange.
And helping us, I guess, if we're in a meeting.
If we're calling it a commercial, they're helping spread the word.
Okay, that's how. So.
And they get the chance to align with it. This is their 30-day free trial.
Mm. Okay, can we go? Now, you wanted to bring up Sam Carroll. Can I go into
you said
viewing?
Go to one viewing. I'm good.
The vampirism was an opposite kind of a viewing. The Ark of the Covenant was imbued with charisma and healing powers or whatever it did to people. And the objects were imbued. The crystal,
the hidden source of power.
Hidden source of power. The vampirism, Vlad created another imbued phenomenon. He imbued disconnecting the non-physical, staying in the physical.
It would be outbued.
Outbued. Yeah, he outbued. That's what I meant. I knew he was the opposite of something. He created and imbued a phenomenon that people merge with and get effects from by becoming vampires. It's a powerful Ark of the Covenant.
His infomercial was, If you come beating around here, you're going to get shish kebabbed. Your payment is going to be shish kebabism. We're going to convert you to shish kebabs. So, in his infomercial was, if you come traipsing around here and try to get in my business, I'm going to put you on a stick, and I'm going to pay you with a stick. If you pay me with your presence, I'm going to pay you with a stick.
And that became a fear, and then he fine-tuned it into vampirism.
Yeah.
Well,
he
didn't know or care. But yeah.
How about this? He was afraid to go into the non-physical. He thought he'd go to hell, so he said, I got to stay here. Was he thinking that way?
Uh-huh.
That's okay. That's okay. He didn't care much, but that's as good as any because, yes.
Yeah, he didn't care, but he said, well, maybe any human would get paranoid and go, they may be stronger than I am here, so they're probably waiting to get me, so I'm staying here.
Right, because he's like, wait a minute, I've passed out lots of toothpicks for everybody.
Yeah, because if he kind of embraced Judas and some of that Christian stuff, then he probably, did he embrace hell, Ion?
No.
Didn't embrace hell, but he knew there was a veil separating to another
he
region.
He knew there was potential retribution.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's not. But he was afraid and built a fear campaign regarding it.
He was lived on fear and he carried it on. And so then he started to, how did he do it?
He wanted to control the fear. It's like, I'm not going to be afraid. If I can make everybody else fearful, then I'm the controller of fear.
Yeah, but there is the unknown part. If I transition, I'll get nailed, so I'm going to stay here. And what did he do? How did he make up the first act of creating vampirism? Like, he says, okay, I'm going to stay here, and I probably need blood to stay here, so I'm going to get blood from people. Like, what was his first thinking, looking for a reason to substantiate staying here? You know what I mean?
Okay. Now, you want to develop it?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what happens. There are others around that feed his synchronicity of this thought process.
Of the fear.
You're asking about the process.
Vlad the Vampire. Yeah. Yeah. Well, who did he do it to first?
Let's finish the thought. You get to
We're trying to figure out.
There were others around that fed the synchronicity of this process. So,
for example, if you want to find out about Ion, you are drawn to this work, and it becomes a synchronicity among human creators regarding this work.
Okay.
Okay? Now, you embrace it, you learn more, you make sure it doesn't offend you, you make sure it fits into your paradigms.
Yeah.
And that the vicissitudes don't offend your platitudes.
Right.
And to the point that it becomes something that you would embrace.
Yeah.
Well, he drew like-minded folks to him in his hierarchy of his fear campaign.
Yeah.
And then the dynamics became very clear from the empirical references of Judas Iscariot, of all the different dynamics that came into. And so that became the fastest path to Vlad the Impaler's joy is to confound the world system with this anomaly that didn't fit the mold of what the Judeo-Christian world provided as the only answer.
Right.
Turn or burn. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't turn nor burn.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so he went the third way.
It'll squirt out somewhere else, you see. When you try to put them in a box, like you, Bob, they always squirt out on the other end of the tube.
Right, so then there was a few guys around them that were working with them, and they got paranoid, and they said, yeah, we better stay here. and then they come up with the idea. Who came up with the idea in that group, in that committee, that drinking blood will keep us going?
I don't know if they would have gotten paranoid. They would have just said, let's
thought it out.
Confound.
Oh, wait, I just said thought it out. Did you just say thought it out?
Thought.
Thought.
Well, when you seek, you find.
Right, but I'm wondering how Vlad decided that blood would keep him going.
Because blood is what the Christian church was based upon.
Mm. Uh-huh. Yeah, the blood of Christ.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Okay, so then he said the blood of my victim will save him?
Well, he wanted some of God's blood.
Hmm. So he
was God.
He imbued blood with power, and he started to drink it, get it, and that kept him going in his mind.
And got power, and that's right. And your Christian church, when they take communion with the transubstantiation, that they say that the bread becomes the blood of the flesh of Christ, and the wine becomes the blood of Christ that you take into your system. Perfect.
Yes. Yeah, you don't drink the blood of Christ, you drink the wine, which is the living symbol of it. He did the opposite. He said, okay, I'm going to take the literal blood.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He took them at their word.
And did we already discuss this the last session? We talked about Vlad still alive. He's still around.
Right.
He is. He absolutely is.
Did we go into where he was? He was in Bulgaria or somewhere, Budapest, remember?
No.
We were talking about someone.
Where Alice is from there.
Where is Vlad today?
He stays in a very, 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 very nice tomb in Bucharest.
Oh, they can live in tombs, right? That's the old.
They do live in tombs because they got nothing but time.
Right, so they stay in coffins. That was the old thing. Vampires came out of coffins at night, right, Carol?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not so much that. You should see the tomb. It's vast. It's
where is it?
Bucharest.
Bucharest.
Oh, it's in Bucharest. Now,
we have to be careful because sure as we say Bucharest, they'll change the name of the country,
yeah,
and it'll become some other form of Prussia.
Right, and did Lon Chaney meet him?
No.
Right. Did Lon Chaney understand that Vlad and everybody... So Lon Chaney, that's who we talked about, maybe, Lon Chaney. But Lon Chaney's still here.
Yeah.
They're all still here. Now, does the Pope know where Vlad the Impaler is?
Yes.
Right. So the church keeps track of this, right?
Sure.
So they know, they're experts on all this, a lot of stuff.
Well, they set the dogmatic regime that makes space for those like Vlad to be.
That's right. See,
to what feed?
To be.
To be.
To be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, Karen, we're learning a lot about the guff and the levels of heaven. The realms of heaven from Ion.
Mm-hmm.
But the church was part of creating the levels of heaven and the guff and all that, because they created a veil. And
the
caveman didn't have this, so to speak.
And the contrast thereof, yes.
And the contrast thereof. They're experts on all this, so we are learning what the Vatican knows.
Yeah, yeah.
By bringing in a new premise of non-falsity to watch it evaporate, this world that the
mm-hmm.
Vatican controls and lives on and feeds off of.
Mm-hmm.
That whole meme that the church... They're experts
fear.
On all this. Yeah.
Fear.
And when you talk to your so-called Catholic friend, Terry... He's telling you how, yeah, they know all this and everything, and he doesn't realize, yeah, well, they created it, so they have to
They're experts on it.
They have to follow what their creation.
And Ion is more revolutionary, more radical, more revelationary, because we're saying we don't even need the guff to go anywhere. That's pretty radical.
Mm-hmm.
That's rad, as they say.
But that's what the Christian church is actually preaching.
Yeah, Christ would be on our side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, correct.
Christ
wouldn't be welcome in most of his churches today.
Yeah, so Christ is all for what Ion Dom is going to be, because it's not going to be built on Peter. It's going to be built on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already said that in our public broadcast, that we're
mm-hmm.
doing what Christ advocated.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we're knowing all this. And like my friend says, the Catholic says, that the expert on the exorcism, and it's kind of like an underground society because they're officially not supposed to be doing it anymore, he knows how to travel and riff ride and all that, and he's an expert on it. And we say, yeah, of course he would be. He's part of that old world that created that necessity and those things.
And then Terry comes back and says, now, non-physical doesn't even know what the Gulf is, and your Ion doesn't have a clue what he is invoking, and JW is miscommunicating this power that the church controls, and because the church isn't getting the coffer tithe off of the money, then Ion is an abomination.
Yeah. Ion is taking away the attention that should be given to the church and their coffers.
No, no, they don't want the attention, they want the money.
Yeah, they want the money, and Ion ain't helping them. So you made an opening thing that Terry says, Ion knows nothing about the non-physical. That's what you meant, right? That he makes that accusation.
He does.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we don't know what... When you think about, okay, he's right. Well, what is the realm of God, and what is that place that the Catholic Church knows about? What's the point of it?
That the individual human creators created in the image of God are indeed God.
Yeah, that's what we mean.
Mythology got that. Mythology got that.
Right, no, but when Terry says that Ion knows nothing about the non-physical, what the heck does Terry and the Catholic Church know?
They know that the individual human creators are God.
Oh, they actually know the truth.
Of course they do.
Yeah, but they want to keep it away from people.
It's a secret.
Yeah. So, Dan Brown is right.
That what? What is he right about, Count?
That the church is all messed up and getting it backwards.
Well, the church is all about not giving up their fear-based throne of
power.
Enlightenment.
Of power and enlightenment.
No, enlightenment. They don't have any power. And that's waning.
Right.
And then you're experiencing that. Because the individual humans are waking up and going, wait a second, I don't need you. You're not helping me. You're hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting me in a box. You're telling me that everything I do is wrong, and that if I don't pay your God to look after me, then I'm screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we got that. So the...
Sorry.
If you don't do that, and then I'm screwed. You're saying if I don't do that, then I'm screwed. Yeah. So, Carolyn, the character in the movie Angels and Demons, remember the scientist, journalist, or whatever, the historian, the archaeologist, the Dan Brown kind of guy?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how he looked at the Pope at the very end getting crowned, and he had a cynical jaundiced eye saying, these idiots, and they asked him not to write about it too revealingly, remember?
Mm-hmm. So be easy, be gentle with
us. Yeah, and he was like, our attitude, we look at them, and he kind of pitied them that they stayed within their hypocrisy. He actually had the perspective of Ion.
Mm-hmm.
He let them be, but he knew they were jokers and wasn't going to stir it up. You follow what I'm saying, Ion? That is shown in the movie.
Oh, just marginally, yeah.
The character, Tom Hanks, has this, he has a bit of a superiority look at, he looks at these stupid guys keeping their mythology going, and he tolerates them keeping the reality going. It's pretty much, if you showed Bob and Carolyn in our movie, that would be their attitude, the way Tom Hanks was portrayed. You see that, Ian? Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Henry created the Protestant Revolution, religion, to be a front?
No, to separate their deity from the
Pope's deity. Because they knew the Pope had a pretty powerful deity, pretty powerful. They knew the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Henry knew the Pope was a world creator, so Henry said, well, I'll become my own world creator. And he had a medium to do it with, the printing press.
Now, and well, yes, but then the most famous king... It comes into this place would be Henry the Eighth's grandson, which would be King James. So powerful, he wrote his own version of the Bible, and that version even supersedes most Catholics' understanding of the Bible. And then now your historians, your hysterians, hysterians, is that the way, right way?
Yeah.
Now, boy, they'll tear you out of the frame. King James did not write the Bible. He just financed it. He just put together all of the translations that made that easy. He didn't have one say in any whit or tittle of this whole process of the recreation of his own version of the Bible. And we say it's a damned lie.
Mm-hmm.
He was his own Nicene Council.
He was indeed.
Okay.
And superseded their power. And that version has more validity than your Greek Bibles and your other
Catholic Bible.
Well, we don't know what a Catholic Bible is, but
all the previous Bibles, it has more authority because it's based on more documentation.
Well, no, not previous Bibles. That was the main Bible, you see.
Oh, are you saying King James says it has more authority?
We say your Christian world gives more relevance to King James's version of the Bible than any other heretofore.
Does the Catholic world use the King James Bible?
Most of the time they do.
Oh, okay.
That's the best one.
All right. So he created that, and he purposely put in concepts that will bamboozle the Catholic dogma. That's what you meant. He said he superseded or he surpassed or the Catholic Church couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And it wasn't to undo the Catholic version of Christianity?
Well, the Catholics didn't want you reading the Bible.
Right.
Catholics aren't big Bible thumpers.
That's right.
Oh, I see.
The Catholics will tell you what the Word of God is, and you suck it up.
They're an oral culture, not a visual print culture, Carolyn.
Gotcha.
And not so moral with their oral culture, but regardless.
Yeah.
Whereas King James says, no, we'll write it down so everybody can get it. Mm-hmm. So he created a Bible in a country that had no literacy.
Right.
Boy, go figure. He fixed a book that nobody could read. Well, they already had one of those that nobody could read.
Yes, and so they say the Gutenberg Press printed, one of the main things it printed was the Bible. Was that the King James Bible they were printing?
Only the King James Bible.
Was Gutenberg a Protestant? No, he happened before Protestant, wasn't he? And he didn't. And the printing press was created before him, so that's a whole mistake about Gutenberg. But the printing press was started by the Catholic churches for indulgences.
Absolutely.
And then the Protestants...
So they paid for the... paid for the chip body that allowed the Protestants to cram it down their world and did them in their very place. It basically put Mr. Forbes out of business, didn't it?
Forbes being Steve Forbes, you mean?
Malcolm Apple Forbes. Forbes.
Who's Apple Forbes?
Malcolm. Malcolm Forbes.
Very good.
Well, he's not Apple, though. That's Bill Gates or Steve Jobs.
Malcolm.
Malcolm died with the mirror. He was going to do a mirror.
Right.
But anyway, Steve Forbes, why are we bringing up Forbes? What's that got to do with computers?
No, we're not talking about computers. We're making reference of the printing press undoing the owner of the meme.
Yes, but you brought up the chip body and brought up Forbes. What's the ratio? What's the parallel with Forbes and the chip body?
The advertising world is now lost control of by making advertising easier to get to all the creators. Well, it undid them.
Yeah, Forbes magazine, the icon of Forbes magazine is a financial bible. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So the Pope was using was the magazine using the printing press for indulgences, and then King James hijacked the medium of the printing press to present a culture, a whole new medium all over the place, and so. That is the Bible that they say Gutenberg printed a lot of. It's the King James Bible, right, Ion? That's the point. Okay. So
all the original Gutenberg Bibles were King James longhand.
Right. And is he known to have written it? Or do these historians say he did not write it?
Oh, they fight about it because they don't want an empirical...
human imprint on it.
Human...
Yeah.
King that would screw anything that'd be steel and off with their heads and
right. His hands are too dirty to be associated with the sacred Bible.
The monotheocracy of the written word of God.
Yes.
They certainly couldn't have achieved that to a dysfunctional person like King James, who was the son of Mary, Queen of Scots.
Yeah.
Okay.
Raised
by Elizabeth.
It's all mixed up. Yeah, it's all mixed in, the Catholic and the Protestant strains in England. Right, Ian? Yes, you agree with that. The James, by the way, was he a parallel worlder? King James. Was King James a parallel worlder? Did he riff rider?
No.
Did he know that the Pope and them were aware of that? He didn't know that.
Right.
He was the one who began visual space count. That's visual space. And in McLuhanism, when McLuhan says the ear is sort of better than the eye, McLuhan meant his Catholic self, Catholic culture, was better than the Protestant eye people. Mm-hmm. And he said the eye people can't handle the electric age.
Mm-hmm.
The book
well,
people.
Edward kind of got a hand in that process.
Edward was the father of King James, or
no,
brother?
No, he would have been the uncle.
The uncle. Whose son was he of?
He was the son of James Seaborn.
James.
One of Mary's sister.
James. No, that's
Seymour.
Boleyn.
Another wife.
Another wife.
Seymour.
Another Henry wife.
Fifth wife of Henry VIII.
Yeah, he's a peer of King James, the same generation, so to speak.
No, he would be his. No, it would have been. He would have been an A. Henry VIII had children.
Yes.
Henry VIII had Elizabeth. Henry VIII had Edward. Henry VIII had Mary.
Okay.
And Mary first.
Three children. Okay.
Well, he had a bunch of children, but they were bastards and sort of off to the side, but. In the lineage, those were the three. So Edward would have been James's uncle.
Right, and Edward was the most knowledgeable of the riff writing world, Ian said earlier.
Very good. That's good, because we want to make sure we were just giving a blanket no when Edward was.
Yeah, he tuned into
it. Quite enlightened.
Yeah, I think you said he wasn't a riff writer, but he was aware of it and couldn't do it, but he knew it.
He led the all correspondence of what you would describe or call a charmed life.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you have the three of them. So you were saying that Edward had a hand in King James's work in the Bible?
No, he was much more enlightened that allowed James to be a reference of how to magically imbue this charmed reality that Edward lived, which James didn't so much get to because Elizabeth raised him under her thumb.
Yeah.
But it was an outlet.
Okay, I'm not sure what
he was a bit of a good example for King James.
Good.
He thought Edward was a superlative Christian, Protestant Christian.
No. He saw him as a marvelous prince.
All right, and what's that got to do with the Bible, the writing of the Bible?
Edward have influenced James in the writing of this King James version of the Bible. You go down in infamy if you can get a Bible that everyone, that even usurps the Catholics.
Okay, no. You're saying Edward gave the idea to James to write the Bible.
No, I am not. I'm saying that he influenced him as a human being to make his place in all of eternity if he can have a Bible that he can put his name on. King James Version of the Bible.
Did Edward give James the idea that he could create his own power by creating a Bible?
Or, well, it wasn't a Bible. It was anything that would give him eternalness as the king, as the sovereign.
And what would be
pure sovereignty?
What would be some of the things that would give him pure sovereignty if it wasn't limited to the Bible?
Oh, gosh. Conquering all worlds, conquering the sun never sets on the British Empire.
Okay, so
Edward
was a mentor.
Was a mentor for a big expanse. He gave James big
ideas. He was his Garrett.
He was his idea man.
He was the idea man, the Garrett Dean, saying, man, we could have a lot bigger world here coming out of England than we have so far. Right?
And then here you have Elizabeth, who is fretting over keeping her own throne. And here you have Mary, who should have been the queen, who got knocked out of her throne. Then you have Edward, who didn't give a care. He had the best of all worlds. He didn't have anything to lose.
He was like me.
He became the perfect Prince of Wales.
Yeah, he was like me. He had slack all the time. He didn't have the burdens of state and all that. But
he got all the good stuff. He got all the goodness of court.
Yeah, Elizabeth was Carolyn doing all the work, and Edward was Bob, just along for the ride, and didn't care, and had a good time.
They didn't sleep together very much, though.
Okay, so Elizabeth, Mary's the oldest. Is Edward the youngest, or is Elizabeth?
Edward is the youngest, correct.
And so if Elizabeth died, he would have become king?
No. It would be up to Elizabeth. Said it. Once Henry made Elizabeth the queen,
she would determine who would follow her.
He determined. Now, there was rules and regulations, but see, these were very fresh, new rules. You had Cromwell and some of those other cronies and the cronyisms that would quote the law. Well, Henry VIII's the one that said, I'll write the law.
Right, and that's... What's the last word? Make it so?
Make it so. Make it the way I want it.
Yeah, Cromwell is a guy, we have to check into that, to how Cromwell, who seems to be later, but there was a Cromwell around Henry VIII, is what Ian is saying.
Okay, I'll make a note of Cromwell. And we're almost done. We have three minutes left.
No, 7 minutes. It's only been, if you go, well, we started late. We got about 6 minutes. But anyways, Ian still says that there was a Cromwell in Henry VIII's day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. And we won't go into it right now. We'll make it up.
But we're seeing the whole Western culture comes out of the dynamic between Edward, Mary, and Elizabeth. That's a pivot point, right, Ion?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, because if Henry VIII, his oldest should have been queen, which was Mary, but he didn't follow that rule, correct, Ion?
Well, so, no. See, the problem was is that she was Catholic, and he couldn't make her queen.
Because she had a Catholic mother. So he had all these different wives. Catholic.
Aragon was Spanish and very, very, very Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So Elizabeth, who was Elizabeth's mother?
Anne Boleyn.
And she wasn't Catholic?
No.
She converted to Henry's world?
No, she's who caused Henry to make his world.
Because she wanted a divorce from the other women.
Divorced. Yeah. He wanted a... She forced him to start the Protestant church because the Catholic church would not annul the marriage of Catherine of Aragon.
Who was Mary's mother, right. So mm-hmm. Anne says, you're not having me unless you do something about Catherine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he had her and she made her stance and off with her head went. Yeah.
But no, I don't know who you were talking about. Are you talking about Anne?
Anne Boleyn was beheaded by... the King Henry VIII.
After he became a greatest church.
Well, in that process, yes.
Why was her head not lopped off?
He accused her of having sexual relations with her brother.
Is that what is in the historical record?
We don't know what's in your historical
record. Okay, so that's what happened. And she did have relations with his brother.
Sure, and there have been lots of others.
Right, so she had her head lopped off for reasons nothing to do with the religion or conversion and creating
it. Oh, it had everything to do with her forcing Henry to change everything on her behalf, and then when she wasn't living up to the expectations,
right. Yeah.
She got what she paid for.
Right. And, you know,
paid
can
with
we...
her head.
What was the last words?
And paid with her head.
Right, I mean, she's saying a new religion's supposed to be the queen of the religion with the king, and then she's not following any.
Well, she'd cuddle up, spooning up with her dear, wonderful husband and say, gosh, King, you're so dapper and so cool and all-powerful. You know, what's wrong with you that you can't make these people behave? Why are you so limited in your sovereignty that you're not even sovereign of your own household? And you're so wicked and witty and together that you have all these cronies telling you more about you than you know about you. And, you know, you start poking, 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 and he finally says, you're right, my dear. Let me see if I can take my power back. A chunk off with your head. So.
Oh, but he had formed the church before he did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That, in other words, she. I thought you were describing the prompting, the poking at him that led to him forming the church.
It was, yes.
But then you jumped ahead. She kept poking him on other levels and got poked by other guys, and then he said, the hell with you. And then he had... gave her the poker?
Chopped her head off.
Yeah, and who does he marry next?
After Anne Boleyn would have been Catherine of Aragon, Anne Boleyn, the other Jane.
Yeah.
And then Jane Seymour, and then the last one. Because one of them had Edward's mother didn't last very long. She died in childbirth.
All right, so Catherine of Aragon had Mary, and Boleyn had Elizabeth, and another woman had Edward.
Correct.
Oh, okay, we got it. Now, let me see, I think it was something about Carol. So we have... and then you have the Queen Mother, Carolyn, who combines Edward's parallel world knowledge.
Yeah, we're done about that.
We're not, what do you mean? Yeah, we'll get another minute or two. But anyways.
No, you promised 2 hours.
Yeah, but it's not on the timer. We go 2 hours by the timer. Okay. So anyways, so you mute, Carolyn. Mute. I will wrap it up.
No muting.
You're blocking the complete.
Yeah, you're blocking our agreement.
No, it goes 2 hours. We start at 6:02, and we have 45 seconds left. So let me just wrap it up with this wonderful pattern. The Queen Mother of the 20th century has the Catholic strain in her. She is part of a Protestant religion and has Edward's wisdom. Wouldn't you agree? She puts it all together.
Uh-huh.
And she secretly, you know, she brings the Catholic part through her blood from Mary Queen into it. She's the saves the monarchy and parallel worlds. She's an improvement in all three.
And validates the Plantagenets,
which is the family before that, before Henry VIII. The Plantagenets, are they, Henry's a Plantagenet?
In the removed, but yes.
Yeah, and the Plantagenets replaced.
They weren't Tudors.
Who's they?
The Plantagenets.
We're not Tudors, but the Plantagenets replaced the Pendragons.
Pendragons.
The Pendragons, correct?
Yes.
We can go back in there. Can we show the vampire? We're taking our own power. We're writing a new Bible. We can do whatever we want, right?
Oh, yeah. Instead of, do you want to do a King Ion version of the Bible?
Yeah, the King Ion version of the Bible.
Rewrite the whole thing?
Yes. That would be the greatest story ever told for the new civilization.
Be very interesting.
Beg your pardon?
Be very interesting.
Right, and we've been doing the Bible, the real, preceding the Bible, where it came from, Egypt, Moses, and all that, up right through to where it is today, right? We've been doing it.
Sounds like fun.
All right, then we are complete for a while.
We are indeed.
All right, thank you.